Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Have my fancy mic on. Let me know. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. All right. I am so excited to be here. Let me get Coach Lizzie pulled up so she can take care of you in the Q&A and all the places. All right. Zoom is being touchy this morning. All right, Coach Lizzie, think you're ready? Okay. Perfect. Hello, everyone. I am Coach Kathy. I'm going to change my name. Kathy. I am a no BS coach and love being a no BS coach. I just want to say very, very quickly that I appreciate so much everyone's thoughts, prayers, juju, reach outs, everything you all have done for me over the past few months. I am good. I am good. Let me just say, I am so grateful to be almost fully recovered from surgery, to be moving forward with, necessary treatments, but not terrible treatments. And I have one request, okay? One request for all of you who've been thinking about me and praying for me. I want you to double down on Heidi. I'm good, okay? Let's all double down and send all of our prayers, good wishes, juju, wonderful feelings, love. Send them all to our girl Heidi, okay? All right, let's get started. This is open coaching. So if you want to be coached today, we're going to go about 90 minutes. You want to be coached today, raise your hand and we will get started. Okay. All right, Darlene, you are first. What you got? Let's see. Zoom is touchy, touchy, y'all. Oh, here she comes, I think. Come on, Darlene. Are you here? All right. Maybe not. Maybe she lowered her hand instead of camp panelists. Let's try Lisa. Goodness. Lisa. Oh, here she comes. Good. Whew. Zoom is touchy. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
What are we coaching on?
Well, I just have some questions about my doable hunger, the enough versus full. I'm definitely losing. Like I lost 2 pounds this week. I started in June. I'm down 20 pounds, so I'm very excited, but I also like want to do it right. And I just have trouble like figuring that out. Like, so at my percentages on stopping at enough are really low, but then I start wondering, I'm like, am I actually rating myself too low? Because I am losing.
Well, tell me what enough feels like. How do you know when you've hit enough?
Well, first off, like no longer hungry. So I hit that first, so that I'm not hungry. I can normally like feel the food in my stomach. And then I didn't go past that. Like I didn't go to like my clothes aren't tight. I don't feel uncomfortable. Because I can clearly tell, like if I've done a true overeats, I know it. Like I know it. But that subtlety between those two, I don't.
The subtlety between the two is where the magic is, for sure. Because I think we all know when we've overeaten, right? That our stomachs feel heavy, the pants are too tight, can't breathe, don't want to get off the couch. It's classic for overeating. But you're right, the nuances to finding enough can be take more attention to find. Let's just say that they take you really paying attention to find them. And they're also very individual. Okay. My enough signals might not be the same as yours, although I can offer you mine so that you can see if you can find them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my set of enough signals, you might have one or two of them, but you might not have all of them. So this is honestly a really, really great thing for you to crowdsource what other people, how they feel when they find enough. But I'll give you mine. Okay. If I'm sitting straight up in my chair at the table and I'm eating, if I put my fork down and I sit back, it's like a clue. Like my body needs a minute to process what it's eaten. Okay. If I sit back in my chair, if I take a deep breath, if, you know, if there is, your body will naturally pause a lot of times when it's time to find enough. The other thing you can do, have you tried the halftime method?
No, and I didn't ask coaches about it because there is just something, I don't mind doing it at a restaurant, like where I clearly know the portions are, I've been overserved. I cut my things in half and look forward to having leftovers. I am like mentally like resisting doing that one. And I was going to kind of muscle through, but instead that some of the advice was to like try to figure out why that feels like I don't want to do it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you is why.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not telling you just to eat half, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you to assess after you've eaten half. So mm-hmm. what is the reluctance?
Hmm. I think it is like it feeling restrictive, like that I would not necessarily give my permission to have more because then I'll be stuck on, oh no, I should only have half. But I know that's not the actual halftime method, that I can have more than that.
Tell me what where the restriction feeling comes from mm-hmm. with regard to the halftime method.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably from years of dieting where like I portioned things out and measured and weighed. And like, so what I served was what I could have.
Mm-hmm.
So then I feel like I've given myself a reasonable serving to begin with, except at restaurants where I don't have trouble with that.
Do you know where the halftime method came from? Once upon a time on a coaching call, just like this, someone was having trouble finding their enough. And I made it up. I was like, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to serve your regular portion of food, eat about half of it, and sit back for 10 minutes and think about how you feel. Do a body scan. You still hungry? Eat half again. Do a body scan. The whole point was to find what might be signals of enough. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to eat half your food. It was to find your enough signals. And it totally came right out of whatever body part you want to say, ass, head, mouth, just free, you know, free forming an exercise for that particular client. Okay. So the point of the halftime method is not to restrict your food. It's to put you in a mindset of curiosity about what you learn about how your body feels as you eat your food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to slow you down enough so that you can pay attention to how your body feels as you eat your food.
So it would, I'm thinking I'm maybe more open to the mindset if I started with giving myself permission that I would still finish my plate. I would just do the pauses.
You finish your plate if you haven't reached enough,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, possible. I don't know how much you serve yourself at home. You might serve yourself just enough. You might be getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can tell you right now, I don't always get it right. There are days I'll be eating my dinner and going, dang it, just hit enough. I guess the rest of this goes, you know, back in the fridge or as my UK friends would say, in the bin or something like that. But that's really what we do and what we teach ourselves so that we don't overfeed ourselves. Because when we overfeed ourselves, the worst that happens really is we store the extra, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what's gotten us into the position we're in now. We've just stored the extra food that we have fed ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, you know, we don't want to get up from the couch. We have to unbutton our pants and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you are losing weight, you may actually be closer to enough than you think. Mm-hmm. But it would be really nice for you to really know what your body is telling you, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tell me how you feel about the halftime method.
I am definitely feeling more open to this now. I think I can try it. And I can try it with a positive attitude, not a negative attitude about it.
I'll tell you, one of my very favorite people is Coach Julie. And Coach Julie always encourages people to be curious. She's a very curious by nature kind of person. And in talking with her, it makes me want to be more curious because curiosity is fun. You know, curiosity is not one of those dready kind of feelings for me. It's like, ooh, let's see what we can figure out. So if you can put on your lab coat and get curious about your enough signals, when you sit down with the halftime method, there is no telling what you can learn. Mm-hmm. No telling. Yeah.
Well, I found my thing to put on my weekly plan that I'm going to do better next week. I'm going to give this a try.
So will you do it? What meal are you going to do it at? Let's go ahead and.
Probably dinners. I think that's where I struggle, where I've had these feelings before of like, ooh, is it enough? Is it not? And dinners is not like a rush. So I have time to.
Okay. Which dinner are you going to do? You going to do it tonight? Going to do it tomorrow night? You going to do it tonight? Mm-hmm. All right. How many people are going to look for Lisa's Facebook post about what she learns and about the halftime method tonight? Yeah. Look at all these thumbs up. They're all going to look for you, Lisa. So post about it. Tag me. And I want to hear what you learn. Okay. So for all of you who don't know, do you want to tell them what the halftime method is or do you want me to tell them?
Well, let me do it. And you can tell me if I've got this right.
Okay.
I'm going to serve my normal amount, what I planned. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of portion, like have an eyeball of what half of that is. And when I get to half.
You don't have to measure it. You don't have to get out your little yardstick or anything like that, right?
I'm going to stop. I think one of the original things was like stop for 10 minutes. I don't know if I'm quite up to that curiosity level. I'll stop for a few minutes, see if I still... If I have any cues that it's enough, or if I'm still hungry, then I'll eyeball half of what's left and have that and then pause again.
Mm-hmm. Do it as many times until your food is gone. If you still haven't found enough, the key, you know, I just, like I said, I eyeballed 10 minutes too, just when I made it up on the fly, because there is some time that it takes your food to leave from the swallowing to work its way down to your stomach and the signal to go back to your brain that you've had enough. Mm-hmm. So be sure you wait a couple of minutes just to make sure, because how many times have you eaten and thought, I did great, I got to enough, and 15 minutes later you're like, well, I guess I overate. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the food hit your stomach hadn't been accounted for yet. So that's the reason for the pause. I think you got it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. I will put you back in the group and go to the next person. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's see. Change role to attendee. All right. I think this is Cynthia. Maybe. Let's try and pull you up. Oh, you're gone. Okay. Everybody, do me a favor and check to see if your hand is up and if you mean for it to be up. Kate, you're next. Okay, Kate, here it is. All right, Kate, let's see if this brings you up. Here she comes. Okay, Cynthia, I'll get you next time. Are you coming, Kate? Ask to unmute. Let's send you buttons.
Let's ask you to start video. Okay.
Yes. There you are.
Oh, yeah, there I am.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. I hate how I look because I didn't even get dressed or anything. I always go through this.
You know what? It makes no, I'm actually jealous that you have robe and pajamas on.
I actually like to get up and get dressed, but Sunday mornings I don't do it so well. I don't know if I'm going to be a real pain in the butt here, but I'm really frustrated with, I love all of the information. I read everything. I go to the replays. I love it all. The one thing I don't do is anything with the food. And I do a plan. I don't necessarily stick with it. I'm just wondering if maybe I'm not a good fit. See, now I'm frustrated. I thought I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to say. I was almost thinking about quitting, but luckily I joined camp in November. So I figure I can't quit till after that. But one of the things that I do is I'm very good. I do an assessment, and my assessment is always about how I didn't do well on the day. And I do the entire assessment, and then I do a discovery sheet, and I find the discovery sheet and the assessment are practically the same. So mm-hmm. I'm saying the same things over and over and over, and it seems like I'm saying the same things every day and doing the same things. I know I should probably journal. That's probably better. But go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You finish.
No, I'm just frustrated at my sort of unwillingness to, it all seems like such a hassle, like waiting 10 minutes. I usually have dinner with my husband, and I don't know. I'm just frustrated. I guess I'm just really frustrated. I gained weight this week. That's not uncommon. I've been weighing about the same. I'm at the borderline of obesity, but not that heavy. My doctor is not that concerned. And I've been here for maybe 10 years. So I'm thinking maybe this is my norm. And what I'm getting from NoBS is that I like the psychological stuff. Maybe I don't really want to lose weight. I'm really confused.
So tell me why you joined NoBS. I mean, what drew you in?
I used to listen to the podcast and I really liked what she said, but I like looking at the personality stuff. I like looking at the self-improvement. I feel better about myself. I feel okay about myself. That might be the problem, actually.
That's not a problem.
maybe I'm not as motivated to lose weight because I basically am feeling a lot better about who I am. I'll tell you right off, my one reason for wanting to lose weight is I have these rolls and they're driving me crazy.
Okay, so you do want to lose weight. That was going to be my next question.
I'd like to lose the rolls. I guess I'd like to have a magic that would lose those rolls. But, you know, a part of me is, I'm 79, so I'm on the older edge of even the 55 and over group. And so I think, you know, like, does it really matter? But I don't like the rolls. I don't like them. I don't like how they make me feel.
And do you think weight loss is going to help the rolls?
Yeah, I know it would, but it doesn't happen. It has to happen overnight or I'm not happy, I guess.
Is it possible for it to happen overnight? Why does it? Well, no, let me ask a different way. Why does it have to happen overnight?
because I don't want to do all the food work.
Okay. So that's the painful thought right there. And yeah. I was sort of thinking that that's where this was going to go, because you told me you really liked, you know, you liked the thought work. You didn't like the work, yeah. the food work, and you yeah. don't want to do okay. it. But why not? If this is how many diets have you been on in your life?
Oh, ever since I was like 10, 7.
Okay.
I have never not had my primary focus in life being either losing weight or not even maintaining, but losing weight and being obsessed around my weight. I haven't had super strict diets because I always cheat. But I have never not, it's sort of like my reason for living is to focus on my weight.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this, because we've already started it. We're going to do the four N's on your thought.
Okay.
Oh, what kind of face was that, girl?
No, seriously,
this is part of what this call is about, is the four N's. We're going to do it on the thought. I don't want to do the food work. I notice I'm thinking I don't want to do the food work. And then I asked you how many diets you'd been on. And you said, I don't even think you gave me a number, but decades.
I've never not been on a lifetime of diets.
On.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's normal that you don't want to do the food work because you're 79 years old and you've been doing food work for 79 years.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So
yes, exactly.
It feels normal, right? I mean, I bet you we could do a yes. raise of hands on this call and everybody's like, me too. 79 yeah. years, maybe not 79, 57 years for me yeah. of diets. Look, we got a thumbs up.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
How would you neutralize I don't want to do the food work? What's the food work? That's what we would put in that column.
The food work. How do I neutralize that?
What is the food work? Is it planning? Assessing?
I like assessing. It's the planning, and then the follow through when impulses. What happens to me is I'll plan, but then the minute something else is more appealing, I jump to it. So it's the follow through on the planning that I don't like.
Okay.
The planning seems restrictive to me, even though, and I know I do the entire planning on what I want. It still feels like I like impulse. I'm impulsive, I guess. And I like okay. impulsive eating. Yeah.
All those are thoughts and those are fine, but they're not facts. Okay. Because I bet if somebody came in and said, here's a big pile of dog poo, you wouldn't be impulsive about it. Except running away, maybe running away.
I was going to say, I'd be
or
impulsive.
Someone, you see what I'm saying? You're not impulsive about everything. You might be impulsive yeah. about food. Okay.
I'm impulsive about
so
food.
To neutralize, I don't want to do the food work. We would say the food work is planning or the food work I don't want to do or something like that is planning. Mm-hmm.
And follow through is not really one of the things that they say, but I assume that's true.
So what is follow through? Following the plan?
Follow through means following on my plan.
Following the plan. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like to eat when you're hungry? Do you always eat when you're hungry or try to?
I'm always, but I for sure for breakfast, mostly for lunch, not always for dinner and not okay. for snacks.
Is that work you're okay doing, waiting for hunger?
Pretty much, yeah. But not if it's not convenient, but pretty much.
Okay. How about stopping at enough? Is that work you're okay doing?
For meals, not for snacks, okay. but for meals.
All right. So to neutralize, we would put the things that you don't want to do in the neutralize column. Okay.
Okay.
And then our next best thought or action doesn't have to be, y'all, seriously, don't go all pie in the sky on the next best thought or action. Yeah. You know, we're not going to go, we're going to plan and follow our plan for 7 days. No. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we're open to thinking about how to make this program work for us. Okay. Where you might be willing to learn something or willing to try something or open to thinking about something. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Open to moving towards something. For you, you're open to staying until camp and looking for ways to make the program work for you. So what could you do? What's one little thing you could do that moves you toward doing food work that's not exciting?
You know, I don't know if this is little enough, but I have thought, because I get frustrated with the similarity between discovery worksheets and that I'm saying the same things, is that I could switch to doing a journal page every time I overeat. Because my overeating is almost always my snacking. It's not usually a meal. Okay. Very seldom is it a meal. So every time I get into, I try to do the thoughtful snack, you know, sitting down at the table and having it. But then afterwards, I want everything else. Uh-huh. But when I do that, maybe journaling will take me to a different place with it. I'm not sure.
So
does that make sense?
Of course it does. And I do agree with you. The assessment page has the four ends on it, and the discovery worksheet has the four ends on it. The other thing you could do is not use the assessment page for an overeat. Just use the discovery worksheet for an overeat, but the assessment page for something else food related, like not following your plan or didn't get your water in or something that frustrated you that, you know, gave you urges to eat. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, use it for the urges or what, or the frustration rather than the food.
Yeah, you could do that. If you don't, listen, we have 30,000 thoughts a day, 60,000, some crazy number of thoughts a day. You can find two different ones to notice if you do a discovery worksheet and the assessment page. But that said, as long as the most important part of that assessment page is whether or not you ate on plan, whether or not you ate when you were hungry, and whether or not you stopped at enough, because that goes back to the four basics. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So you want to talk about snacking for a minute?
Sure.
You want to be coached on your snacking? Why do you snack off plan or when you're not hungry? What's going on there?
I get almost an anxiety thing in my stomach. It's not hunger at all. It's like I want something. It's almost making me want to cry now. I know that my snacks mean more to me than the food. I know that.
What does that mean? My snacks mean more to me than the food.
I feel secure after I snack a lot.
Why?
I'm not sure. This is making me very sad, I have to say. It's hitting something here. Mm-hmm. It's my snacks just make me feel safe. They make me feel secure. They make me feel, they're unconditional love. It's like having a puppy. The snacks are always there to make me feel good. My other food is okay, but my snacks make me feel, they just fill me up more than, they fill me up psychologically as well. Now, then I have too many and I don't feel so good. But at the time, they just make me feel secure. They make me feel okay. I'm safe. I'm secure. And I was never unsafe in my life. So it's not that.
Yeah. So take me back to the last time you had a snack that you say made you feel secure. Was that yesterday?
Oh, sure. Okay. A number of them.
All right. So tell me about why you had the panicky feeling in your stomach that led you to thinking, I need a snack to feel secure.
You know, that I can't really identify. I'm sitting there. I'm watching. I like sports. My husband and I are watching sports. Mm-hmm. And I know I have that food there. And I just think, oh, God, I want it. And it just, that starts getting me feeling anxious until I have it. And I sneak it, of course. I sneak it with my husband's not there, of course. But then after I have it, I feel really, really, really good. And I used to be where I always felt optimistic after my snacks. I felt like, oh, good, tomorrow I'll start being good because now I feel good. But no BS has kind of wrecked that. Now I don't feel so good after my snack.
No BS has wrecked that.
Yeah, I don't feel the sense of optimism. I feel this sense of how am I ever going to be able to stop this? It's a, I know I need something. I know there's something I'm missing. I know that.
It's possible that you're missing something. It might also be that you're having urges that you are, I mean, cause you beautifully described and how an urge feels. Now, urges can come from the need for distraction or the need to, you know, whatever, but they can also be habitual. When you sit down in that place on the couch with the sports in front of you and the husband leads the room, cue up that urge. Hello, it's time to eat, right?
Yes,
I have a very similar urge. I can sit up here right behind this desk and hear my husband leave to go teach a yoga class, and my brain immediately says, what's in the pantry?
Oh, that's so Hands funny. Gone. That's so true.
And the thought I caught, and you tell me if you have a similar thought, is nobody will know.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Well, you know, for me, one of the things is only that he doesn't know, because I'll tell everybody all about my snacks, but I don't want him to know I did.
Why not? So
I
have Why don't that you want him to know?
Because he'll judge me. He doesn't. He doesn't. But I judge me and I lay that on him. I know that. And my other friends, it's almost
like they
think
I'm funny. But it's so interesting that you only attach that thought to him. You don't attach it to me or to anybody else on this call or to your other friends.
Oh, my friends, I joke about how much I eat. I with everybody else, but for him, I think it's because way back when I was a kid, you know, my parents, they wanted me to be thin, and I never was, and so I think it goes back to that. But my feeling for him, because it matters to me what he thinks, is that I don't want him to know. Everybody else, I think they think I'm funny. I don't know if they do or not. Well, but
let me ask you this: does it matter to you what you think?
That's interesting, isn't it? I don't know. I want it to matter to me what I think. I want, because I think about like my future self. I want my future self to not do this. So I guess it must matter to me that I don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it must.
So maybe that's how you answer, because that's what I finally came around to was nobody will know. I will know.
I will know.
The most important, for those of us who like to eat behind closed doors, and I'm seeing a lot of that's me's on this call, you're not eating in secret because you will know and your pants are going to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Your rolls are going to know.
My rolls get bigger.
Your body's going to know. Your mind's going to know. Your discovery worksheet is going to know. It's not a secret, because the most important person who you're trying to eat around is yourself. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you
listen,
I've done a lot of work on this, because I have been a secret eater since I was a kid. I can remember.
Me too.
I can remember, you know, checking out where my parents were in the house, running through the refrigerator straight to the basement and eating. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know why. I mean, I grew up in a house with food, but it was just a habit that I formed and I carried into adulthood. But the most important thing is if you want to treat yourself with kindness and you want to be very intuitive about the person you are and what goes in your body, you have to really pay attention to that nobody will know thought or he won't know thought. Because ultimately, he's not the one who really cares. You're the one who really cares. Otherwise, you wouldn't be projecting that thought onto him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So,
okay.
Strategies for secret eating.
Yeah.
Okay. The best one I came up with is I don't eat when Ken's not here. Or I text him and tell him what I'm going to eat. Because a lot of times he's gone at dinner. Well, on Tuesday nights, he's gone at dinner time.
Yeah.
So I set my intention before he leaves. This is what I'm fixing myself, and I'll fix it at this time. And this is what I'll fix you when I get home, when you get home. And then I have, yeah. I have an accountability person. When I feel especially urgy on Tuesday nights, I get on Marco Polo and I'm like, and it's, y'all remember Coach Judith? It's Judith. Judith, it's Tuesday. You know what happens to me on Tuesday. I have the urges to eat everything. So I'm going to go outside. I'm going to sit down. And why don't you Marco Polo me back and talk to me for a minute? Talk me through this.
That's, you know, actually, Emil, my husband, we have a place where he fishes. So he often goes from Monday through Thursday. And those are have been total pig out days. I'm better with that. But I don't know that I feel comfortable, at least yet, letting him know. I did sign up for an accountability person, but I know that's been on hold for a long time. But I think that would be helpful, maybe, to be in have an accountability person and do exactly what you said. Yeah. Is just say, this is what I'm going to do, and then check back and say, this is what I did.
Okay. Kate,
I do it with my husband. Huh?
Are you in the 55 plus group, in the subgroup?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing a lot of 55 plusers on this call. Okay. When this call is over, or whenever you're ready, just hop in that group and ask, is there someone here I can Marco Polo when I need to talk through urges to eat?
Marco Polo means just contact them and get a feedback? Is that what that means?
Yeah. Marco Polo is actually an app on your phone that sends a video message. Yes. It's a free app. Unless you want to speed people up and pay for it, you can do it for free. And it connects you by telephone number.
Okay.
And you record a message. Like, you can have camera and voice on if you want, or you can turn the camera off. And you record a message, and it's just like I do with, I send it to Coach Judith and I say, girl, I'm feeling especially urgy tonight and Ken's not home. You know, you got time to talk, or I just want to talk through it. And they can respond to you. You can also do it by text, you know.
You don't have to do it like you don't have to do it like face-to-face talking all the time, right?
No, it's just recording a video message. It's a phone call, unless you you know, a message and respond and respond and respond and respond. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I will do that. I will
just
do
something
that
to think about. Something.
Yeah. And I will do the two separate assessments, the discovery worksheet around food and the other around what the feelings were around urges, or whatever the feelings were that were going on.
Yeah. That sounds good. The other thing I would do is I'd go back to module 3 in NoBS. Okay. And listen to some of those urge lessons again. Corinne does an amazing job talking through how urges work, she has a busting urges process, and all those things.
Okay. Yeah,
I bet if you clean up the snacking and your thought, snacking, I don't remember what it was you said, but you said something like, snacking makes me feel good
safe.
Or something. Safe. Yeah, you're safe anyway. Snacking isn't making you feel anything. Okay.
Yeah,
if you work through that thought, in fact, that's the one I do on the four ends. Snacking makes me feel safe.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay.
And see what you can come up with.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
Thank you.
Are you less frustrated now?
Well, I'm willing to give it another good try. And so I guess that's less frustrated. And I know that I probably do want to lose weight, but I'm still putting a probably on there but we'll see where I go.
You're leaning pretty heavy on these snacks to make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's probably getting in the way of your desire to lose weight, because innately you probably know the snacking needs to be cut back if you want to lose weight.
Yeah, and I'm having trouble giving them up. So I have to focus on giving them up, or giving up the way I'm doing it. I mean,
but
you can have
look
a snack if you're hungry. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at future Kate and you see a woman who feels confident and safe when her husband isn't home and she's not eating, doesn't that sound like a beautiful place to be?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds like a beautiful place to be. And not hiding. Yeah, it does. It sounds good.
Okay.
Thank all right. you. Thank you. I'm really glad I raised my hand. I wasn't sure if I should, but
I'm glad you did too. If you ever need us, just hit us up and ask coaches. Everybody on this call, y'all know we're in that ask coaches, and we are checking in on people all the time. So
thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Darlene said she was back. So I'm going to do Darlene since I called on her first, and then I'll come back to Cynthia. Okay. Darlene, let's see if we can get you called up this time. So hang tight, Cynthia. Darlene, it sure doesn't want to call you up for some reason. Do this, Darlene. For some reason, your profile is not reacting to my invitation to become a panelist. Put your question in the Q&A. And let's see if we can do it that way. You might also check your Zoom settings to make sure that other people can allow other people to promote you to panelists on webinars, okay? Cynthia, let's try you. I hope I'm saying your name right. You can tell me. Might get Lizzie. Lizzie, maybe we'll, darling, keep your hand raised too. Maybe we'll see if you can promote her. Hello. You are muted. Let's see if we can get you unmuted.
Okay. Good. Right.
Cynthia, correct.
Yeah, I had to take that headset out last time that messed us up.
Cynthia, am I saying your name? Is that correct? I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Your name is funny on Zoom.
I know. I went to help to see if they can change that on my profile.
Right. That's fine. It's perfect. I figured you out. But you can also change your name when you're in the Zoom call as well. But they can show
I've tried to do that a couple times. Anyway, I'll try again.
Okay. All right. So we'll be coaching on.
My question is, I definitely did the halftime method a lot during July, and it helped quite a bit. But I get in situations where I'm in group situations and I get nervous about, like, I'm uncomfortable chit-chatting. And so I reach for the food and I try to slow down. I mean, my last time we had a group situation, I waited till everyone was seated before I sat down and served myself. You know, it was kind of a buffet thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched people and I tried to eat slow and I still was the first one finished. And it happens a lot. I mean, that's something I really focus on, because usually, I mean, my plate's cleared fast. So that's why I've kind of focused on halftime at home, you know, in July. So I don't know if you have any ideas on how I can
work. So what is, tell me what we're working on. Are we working on eating and finishing before everyone else, or are we working on I eat because I don't want to chit chat or I'm uncomfortable chit chatting?
Probably I'm uncomfortable chit chatting.
Okay. Why is that a problem?
I don't know. I mean, it's like I'm with my best friends. I'm not quite sure why, but I,
I'm not. So let me ask the question again. I'm not asking why you, if you're uncomfortable with friends, I'm asking you why you are uncomfortable. Why is it a problem that you're uncomfortable chit-chatting? How is it okay that you don't chit-chat? Let's ask it that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the discomfort around chit-chatting. Why is that a problem?
Because I guess I feel like sometimes I don't have much to say. I don't know.
Is it a problem that you don't have much to say?
Probably not with my closest friends, no.
Yeah. So when you do have something to say, do you say it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. But I do reach for the food. It's like that's what's...
Right. You're reaching for the food because you feel uncomfortable. If we can solve the uncomfortable, you might be able to sit there with the food enough and enjoy the conversation that's happening around you. You see?
Yeah.
We can't all be chatterboxes or else nobody would hear anything.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have one of those friends who's like yakety smackety all the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were that person, y'all would never communicate. You'd both be yakety smackety all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So
I know listening, you know, listening's I'm a good listener. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that, you know, that can help me, it can help other people, but I don't know. I just kind of go in for what's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I know my mouth does not have to be chewing while I'm listening. So
it's just something to notice, you know, that the way you describe it, you're uncomfortable. So you eat, you're uncomfortable because you said you don't like, you're uncomfortable chit chatting. And I am too. Let me tell you something. My husband can chit chat with the fence post and carry on a conversation and get a response. I mean, he like knows no strangers. Me, on the other hand, I'm the wallflower. I'm sitting in the background. Yeah. I got a little glass of water, a little plate or something, and I'm watching the crowd. And I love that about myself, because if we were both like him, we'd be competing for the same the same airtime.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm nervous about it too, because I'm in a situation this week where we traveled up to Seattle and we're at my husband's Army reunion. So it happens often, and there are people I've met before, but I don't really know. And, mm-hmm. and we're going to be in these group situations, and I'm just kind of nervous about like, oh, I don't want to.
Well, let's play for a minute. Okay. Let's play. Let's say you're standing with your husband. One of his buddies in there and his buddy's partner comes up and it's like, Cynthia, this is so-and-so, meet so-and-so. What do you say?
How you doing?
Yeah. Right. You smile. You listen. You nod.
Where you live. You know.
Why are you don't have to ask a lot of questions, but you can be present in the conversation, right? In your own unique way.
Yeah.
Right. And then they say, well, you know, Cynthia, what do you do? What do you do all day, Cynthia? Do you work? Do you work inside the house, outside the house? Do you play? You know, what's a typical day for you?
Yeah.
You can answer the question.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I think I just need to be more engaged and maybe interested. I don't know.
Or maybe you just need to be comfortable with who you are.
Right? Yeah.
That maybe you just need to tell yourself that it's okay not to be yakety smackety.
Yeah.
That it's okay to be smiley and responsive and have a couple of, you know, questions in your back pocket if you, you know, feel uncomfortable with dead air. Like, so, you know, you've been to the beach lately? Or whatever your question might be.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's I really believe it's okay not to love chit-chat. Some people are really great at small talk. Some people just aren't. And it's okay. Where it goes wrong is when you eat because you don't like the chit chat. See, because then you're just, it's just mindless eating that doesn't serve you.
Right. I know that. And I tend to do that. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat just said, let the yakety smackety people carry the conversation. That's what I do. In fact, I have such a low voice that when I do try and interject, sometimes I have to raise my hand. just just with a group of people that I love, because yeah. they're all over there going da 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 da, and I'm like, I have something to say.
Yeah, I mean, water helps me. I've been drinking a lot of water, just sort of in those situations. And
yeah, yeah, and that, you know, that's great, because then you get your water in too, and your body needs extra water. It just doesn't need extra food.
Yeah.
So think about that next time you're in a group setting. And I love your idea of going through the buffet last, because that's less time at the table with all the
right
ones ongoing there. I love that. That's a great strategy. Get your water, go sit down, enjoy. Think about how you enjoy the conversation with your listening and your interjecting when you feel like it. Instead of, yeah. I don't like all this chit chat. I don't like to chit chat. Because yeah. I bet you don't mind other people chit chatting, do you?
No, I don't. I think part of it too is I need to change my perspective of me as an introvert. You know, an introvert doesn't mean that I don't like to be around people. And I know this, it's like, I just need that space of quiet time for myself. And then I'm okay being around people.
Absolutely. You know, we could say the same about an extrovert. An extrovert needs to be around people to recharge.
Right.
That's just the opposite of an introvert who needs quiet to recharge.
Yeah.
Neither is wrong. Neither is right. It's just the difference in people. I love quiet time. I'm all in for quiet time. I create it for myself as often as I can, as often as is, you know, practical.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. And it helps me show up better in those times when I need to chit chat. Like at camp, you know, I am all in at camp. I'm like, you know, talking to people and hugging people and taking selfies and all the things. I go back to my room and I'm like, don't talk to me. Nobody talk to me. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And I guess that's what I just have to tell myself. It's okay. It's okay that this is how you are, and you don't have to be like everybody else.
Yeah. It's just concentrate on your uniqueness. You know, if we can all get really, really comfortable with our own makeup and realize how we all have our special set of gifts to give the world, and nobody can give them to us like we can, then whether or not you chit chat at the dinner table seems, you know, kind of incidental. You know, it's just forming that relationship with yourself where you appreciate the parts of you that contribute in the way you contribute.
Right. Without eating.
Yeah. Using food as a crutch when you're safe or uncomfortable doesn't help you lose weight, right? It doesn't serve you at all. In fact, and the other thing it does is it's the barrier for you to do this introspective work that helps you show up in your unique way.
Yeah.
All you've done is cover up your discomfort with food. You haven't solved anything. You haven't created anything for yourself. You haven't thought about your future self and how she shows up. All you've done is eaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And all those same thoughts are just going to crop back up next time you're in a big group of people.
Avoidance. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
How does that feel?
Well, I have 4 days ahead of me doing this. So
you've got it. Just just really spend some time thinking about how it's okay, absolutely okay, acceptable. In fact, you know, loving, compassionate, to appreciate the uniqueness of you.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. How many years was I on the podcast with Corinne? Did I ever try to be Corinne? Could I have been Corinne on the podcast?
No.
Yeah, because I embraced myself and how I showed up and knew that that's what that situation needed. So when you go to that Army reunion, it's likely that they need someone exactly like you to balance the crowd. And to balance the yackety smackities of the bunch. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Does that help? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I'll see you. All right, Lizzie, let's try and get Darlene up. I'm going to try. And if I can't do it, I'm going to see if you can do it. I keep hitting promote to panelist. And nothing happens. Why don't you try? Do you know how to do it? Hit the more button on the right above her hand. And then scroll down to promote to panelist and click. Just doesn't
Kathy,
want to let
when me. I try and promote Darlene, I see her hand and it says just the word chat. I don't see a more button.
Okay. Thanks, Lizzie. Darlene, I am so sorry. Hit us up in the Q&A. Hit us up in the Q&A and I can either let Lizzie answer you. Lizzie, by the way, y'all, Lizzie is fantastic, incredible, amazing. She can either answer you or she can save it for me and I'll answer it online. Okay. I'm so sorry that we can't get that figured out. You may have a setting in Zoom that is not agreeing with being called up as a panelist. Okay. Beth, let's go. You coming? All right, Beth just went away too. Peggy? If Beth comes back, we'll figure that out. Peggy, I hope you mean to have your hand up because I'm going to invite you. Here she comes. See if we can get you unmuted and get your video starting. Hello.
Good morning.
Good
can
morning.
You hear me?
Yep. Hi. I got you. Oh,
good, good.
What are we coaching on?
Well, I have been a member since January. Mm-hmm. I have been doing really well. As far as a lot of mind work and getting better with who I am. I do a 24-hour plan. I drink my water. I get my sleep. I'm learning more about my hunger signals. But I'm not assessing my 24-hour plan. And I'm not big on doing discovery worksheets.
Okay.
And so I'm struggling with that part of it. So even though I feel like I've made some really good changes in my life and changes in myself, I'm still not doing everything. And I'm not trying to be perfect. I know there's no perfect. Mm-hmm. But I need help with why I won't continue the day. Why am I not finishing my day? Why am I not doing my assessment? And why it just stops. Like I do my morning and then I don't follow up. So
okay.
I don't know what to ask myself. I don't know how to make these changes and I'm okay. Here for help.
Okay, perfect. Just a question to clarify.
Okay.
What does not finishing my day mean? Is that the assessment part or is it something else?
I think the assessment part, I even completing the 24-hour planner where filling in what did I eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. So I believe that's part of the assessment. I always, as far as the planner goes, the 24-hour the assessment is, you know, it sits blank on most plans that I've done for the last 4 months. It's like I do 24 hours the morning, or I start my day, or I'm trying now to even do it the night before at dinner time to plan for the next day. It's like when, but I'm not really looking at what I've done. There you are, Kathy. I lost you.
Kathy, you're muted.
Yeah, that was fun.
Hello.
Okay.
I love Zoom world.
I didn't even touch anything, y'all. And Zoom just like, yeah, whatever. Zoom's being weird today. Okay. So not finishing my day means not finishing the part of the 24-hour plan that has the little assessment parts on it and doing the assessment, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So tell me what your thoughts are about the assessment process.
That's a good question. I think that if I did the assessment, then I would really be able to see where I need to make more changes, or be willing to make changes that I set out really good, but you know, did you follow through? Yes.
You are willing to make changes.
Yes.
What prevents you from doing the assessment?
Excuses of being, I'm not sure. I'm tired at the end of the day. I forget about it. It's not a priority. I mean, all of these, and these are all just silly.
Okay.
I don't know why that has become, as I look today, that looking back, it's like, okay, but you're not completing part of the, I'm not going to call it the program, but it's like, this is the, by doing my assessment, this is only going to help me and benefit me. And so why aren't you doing it?
What are you telling yourself when you pick up your planner in the morning to make your plan for the day and you see that empty assessment page from the day before? What is your thought?
I need to do that. I need to take an extra 5 minutes and fill out that assessment. And then I don't do it.
So is it possible? Could you think of a way to make assessment the prior day part of planning for the current day?
Yes. So you mean at the same time while I'm making, I feel like I know I'm smarter than a fifth grader, but it's like, I look at this and I go, okay, well, when am I supposed to do the 24-hour assessment? Am I supposed to do it in the morning when I make my plan? Do I assess the day before at that time?
I bet if we asked the people on this call, we would get a wide range of answers because they do it based on when it's convenient for them.
Okay.
So I do my, when I get up in the morning, so I have, y'all, I'm a routine person. I'm sure that's shocking to everyone who knows that I used to work with a 10 key and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when I get up in the morning, I drink my coffee, I take my shower, I get ready, I sit in my chair, I do yesterday's assessment and today's plan all at once. And I base my assessment on yesterday, I base my plan today on my assessment from yesterday, because it asks you in the planner, what can you do better today? Well, I just thought about my yesterday, and let's say I didn't get all my water in. So today's focus is going to be water because I didn't do it yesterday. Or I ate dinner before I was hungry. Well, today's focus is going to be wait for dinner until hunger. Do you see what I'm saying? It's yes. Part of assessment is part of the process of growth. It helps you identify. Yes. It helps you identify those areas that you can fine tune. It's not an invitation to beat yourself up. It is an invitation to figure out where you can level up even just a little bit. That's all an assessment does. Now, two parts to the assessment. And you mentioned, we've actually talked about both of them. The first one is to go back to your plan page and write down what you actually ate next to what was planned, whether or not you were hungry or stopped it enough. And then checking off the water. And then you go over on the assessment page, and that's where it asks you, what are you going to do a little bit better today? Is there a thought you're noticing that you want to take through the four ends that helps you bridge that gap for the next day? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does.
So when you do them together, you can actually put them together and use the information you gain from the assessment to create your plan. And then you've got momentum. It's like your little snowball gets a little bit bigger each time you do an assessment until eventually you have, you know, a big, pretty snowman.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a very doable challenge for myself.
Why is it a challenge?
A challenge? Because I guess I look at it as a challenge because it's something that I haven't done.
Okay.
I haven't really worked hard to figure out why I'm not doing it. I've gotten better. I've made it such a habit to do my daily planner, to start my day or do it the night before, depending on my schedule. That I'm going to have to put forth a little bit of effort to complete the entire day.
How much effort do you think it's going to take?
I don't know that effort's the right word. It's just doing. Not a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of time. I have a hard time thanking myself, so some of the questions are difficult.
Oh, then those are the ones you need to be working on, right? Because the more you thank yourself for something, the easier it is. The more you look for things to thank yourself for, the more evident they become.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it really was, you know, we talked in the morning, at the beginning of your call, we talked about, you know, I was asking you why you didn't do them. Well, I forget, and it seems like a lot. And I don't know. I'm wondering if it's because you're uncomfortable doing them. Is it possible?
Yes.
That you are. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes.
So you have your planner right there, right?
I do.
Just for fun, let's assess yesterday.
Okay.
All right. To go to your assessment page and read the first question.
Where did I see myself do a little better today than I did yesterday?
All right. And flip back over to your plan. Look at your plan for a minute. Where did you see yourself do just a little bit better yesterday?
I completed a 5K yesterday morning, walking a 5K.
All right. Perfect.
I got my 10,000 steps in before 10 a.m.
All right. See, that wasn't hard.
No, because I don't do a 5K every day.
No, but you start on the track of looking for something and you're going to find it easier. You know, it could be, y'all, it doesn't have to be a 5K. It could be, I stayed in bed 10 extra minutes this morning, or I got in bed 10 minutes earlier, or I stayed on plan for breakfast and lunch when the day before I only stayed on plan at breakfast. it can be something super small. I got 5 extra ounces of water. Be something super small. Or it can be a 5K. Okay. What's the next question?
Because I didn't really want to do it. I was signed up for it and was like, I can't run. I won't run. Mm-hmm. I'll be the last one finished. And I wasn't last. And I finished.
But you finished.
I did.
If you'd been last, you'd finished.
Yes.
Right? What's the next question?
What do I do tomorrow that's a little better than today? So,
what are you going to do today?
Today, I'm going to walk the dogs.
Okay.
I'm not going on a 5K. I'm just taking them for their normal walk.
Nice.
Getting outside in this gorgeous weather.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the next question?
And I'm sorry, my dog's barking. He heard me say that word.
He heard you say the W-A-L-K, right?
Yes, the one that I should have spelled. Today, I'm going to thank myself for talking live with you.
Yeah.
On the Zoom call.
Perfect. Perfect. You can thank yourself for getting on a Zoom call. You can thank yourself for taking a shower. You can thank yourself for, you know, anything. Putting on clothes.
Yes. I'm so sorry, my dog, you guys. I am really sorry.
I know what you're doing when you get off the call.
Yeah, I'm going to beat a dog. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
No.
We're going for our WALK.
All right. One last question. Are you doing your habit tracker?
No. And that's the other thing that I'm not doing.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do your assessment page for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And to remind yourself, when you do your 24-hour plan, keep your book open and flip it over to the blank assessment page right next to it and put it exactly where it goes when you go reach for it in the morning to do your plan.
Okay.
Okay. That will remind you that you do the assessment first.
24-hour assessment before 24-hour plan.
Yep.
And habit tracker.
No, 2 weeks doing the assessment page.
2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing, y'all. I am a big advocate of layering in habits. We don't want to do everything at one time because then we get overwhelmed or we forget. Or what'd she tell me to do again? One thing at a time. All right.
Okay.
So you're going to do that assessment page for 2 weeks. All right.
I can do that.
Then when you've got that nailed, pull in the habit tracker.
Okay.
So you can start collecting. Are you a data girl? Do you love data as much as I do?
I'm learning.
Okay.
I'm a nurse.
So data. You appreciate the validity of data.
Yes.
If you really want to know why your weight loss isn't moving, y'all, anybody listening, do that habit tracker. It will tell you. If you are honest with yourself in that habit tracker, it will show you why your weight isn't moving or why your weight is moving. If you had a big loss, go back to that habit tracker. What did I do right? If you're stalled, go back to that habit tracker. What needs a little level up? Okay.
I feel like I'm maintaining very well. It's like, I don't want to maintain. I want to lose.
Yes.
So I've learned how to maintain, but that's not the ultimate goal.
Yeah. And your assessments will show you how to move the needle in your weight loss.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got it?
Yep, I got it. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. See ya.
Bye.
All right. Who's next? I got one hand raised. One more person. Who are you? Mary Elizabeth. Let's do it. Here she comes. Get you to unmute and start your video. Hello. Oh, I can't hear you. You're still muted. Let's see if we can get you unmuted.
There.
All right. You got it. Hi.
Well, it's finally nice to meet you in person. I didn't think I would get into ask this question, but I was listening to everybody, including you and Coach Lizzie. And one of the things I was realizing, the assessment and planning, you know, the meals, I haven't done that at all. And it's sitting on my kitchen table. And one of the things is, it's not that I don't look forward to doing it. I think it comes about, I feel like I'm tracking, logging in, you know, what I've eaten throughout the day. That's where I'm coming from, in that direction. And listening to all of you, I have a better understanding how this program works. And I'm trying to get motivated, and I find it very hard.
Do you know why we ask you to do a plan?
Not really, because I think it's just what you're, you know, what you're eating, what you're putting into your body, eating healthy. That's my assessment, I guess, because I've been on other programs, and I think, you know, diets and all that, and I kind of associate with this tracking and everything else with it, and I'm trying to get away from all of this, and that's my struggle that I'm having right now too.
Okay.
I started in March, the end of March. I've lost 19 so far.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, it is a good program. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm just dealing with. And I've gone over the four ends and I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, one of the toughest things I have, I live by myself, and support is very hard because, you know, it's just me. I don't have anybody else in this area. So, but I'm trying to get past this to do the assessment, and I'm drinking the water, which I always have been, and trying to get moving in a positive direction as far as exercise and all that. So this is, I'm in a rut, basically, okay, right now, if that makes sense.
Let's talk about planning for a minute. One of the reasons, the biggest reason actually, that Corinne created the 24-hour plan as part of the basics, mm-hmm, is because when you plan ahead of time, you are using a very logical part of your brain. So your brain, you know about the two parts of the brain. Your brain has,
yes,
well, has lots of parts, but the parts that we talk about most often are up front, mm-hmm, here, which is a very logical thinking brain.
All right.
And the back here, which is more of a an automatic or habit-centered brain. We call it the primal brain. Okay.
Right.
It's, mm-hmm, the one back here is the one that wants to conserve energy, keep you safe, run your vital system, your respiration and your digestion. It runs all the systems of your body. So it wants to keep everything super easy and safe for you. This thinking part of the brain takes energy. Okay. So if you have ever gone to work and come home and been super tired, yet you think, I didn't do anything but sit behind a desk all day, it's because you were using that thinking brain all day. Okay. Does it make sense? You with me?
Yes, it does. Oh, yeah.
All right. We plan our days with our thinking brain. That's what happens when it's in the morning, right, or the night before. We're using our thinking brain. We have our best interests in mind. It's called decisions.
You just froze on me.
It's called, all right, am I still moving? It's called decisions ahead of time. Am I frozen? Everybody with me?
Yeah, not yeah. It's the gremlins. They're wreaking havoc on us. Now I have you.
Okay. Decisions ahead of time. Okay. When you don't plan, you're having to make that decision for every meal. So breakfast might seem easy. I'm just going to have cereal and bananas or, you know, a piece of toast or eggs and bacon or whatever. By the time you get to dinner, after you've spent all day thinking, your brain is like, I don't want to make another decision. If you have planned, you don't have to because you already know what you're going to have for dinner. But if you haven't planned, then you're looking around going, what's easy? Who can I call? Where's DoorDash? You know, I'll run down to the McDonald's. You know, I'll drive by Wendy's, whatever it is. See?
Right.
So that's why you plan. You plan with your thinking brain, with your best interests in mind. But you plan realistically. You plan knowing what you think you're going to want to eat or need to eat based on what's in the house or what you're driving by or something like that. It's a conscious decision, not a reactive decision.
Okay.
See the difference?
Absolutely.
Makes a huge difference in how you feel about it too. Because when you make a conscious decision and you stay on plan, you have reinforced your commitment to yourself.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Makes a lot of sense.
And when you reinforce that commitment to yourself, guess what? It feels good and you want to do more of it. That's where motivation comes in.
Interesting.
When you start showing up for yourself and you feel good about it and you celebrate it and you pat yourself on the back, you are more motivated to do more work, more weight loss work. But if you're just like scooting along and you're logging your food and you're questioning whether or not anything's going on, what am I doing? I don't really understand this, that kind of thing. That is not motivating behavior. It doesn't reinforce commitment to yourself.
That's true.
Right?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Plus, I'm also type 2 diabetic, and I just want to, I have like about 100 to lose. And I think this is the best that I have felt since I started No BS. And one of the things is I just want to be at a goal weight that I've never been. And I think I started putting weight on in high school. And I also have depression and anxiety. My father had a little bit of it, so I'm on medication with that. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. And I've learned that it only takes a second to do the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And as you said, I didn't get here overnight, but now I understand the correlation with the program, how it all relates and it makes sense. And the other thing is, I wish, you know, with people with carbohydrates, carbs are good. It's not that you have to cut out, you know, things completely. And this was quite an education for me. And it's an investment. And I was just struggling. And I still am. And like you said, I took early retirement, so that's not an issue. It's just I have the time. I just have to make the time and take a different approach. And, you know, now that you've explained it, mm-hmm. I'm able to take that positive approach and, you know, hit it, you know, head on. And it does make sense. I appreciate you explaining it. Because, you know, like I said, it's just like I got to track calories and all that. But as Corinne designed this program, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And you could eat, enjoy the foods you like, you know, and I've learned a great deal. I really have.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Corinne's mission with this business is to teach everyone, every woman how to lose weight, but also teach her how to feel as amazing as she deserves. And that feeling can be that physical feeling of weight loss, or it can be the feeling of commitment to yourself, motivation, self-compassion, self-acceptance. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are the feelings that you bring in as you do the work of weight loss.
Absolutely. And
those are the feelings that keep you in the game. So that's our job as coaches, me, Lizzie, and the other, you know, 8 or 9 coaches on the team, is to help you figure out your weight loss habits, but also help you feel as amazing as you deserve. Okay?
Well said, Kelsey.
Thank you. Thank you. So tell me, do you have a planner? You have a planner, right?
Yeah, I do. I have it on the kitchen table.
All right. Let's do your plan for the day. We'll do it verbally, and then you can fill it in when we're done with the call. So tell me what time zone you're in.
I'm on the, hang on a second here. 12, I'm on Eastern Standard Time.
All right.
So it's after 12.
Okay.
Here.
So we're going to go ahead and do the whole day.
12:30, Kathy.
It's fine. We're going to go ahead and do the whole day's plan. What'd you have for breakfast?
Good question. I'm trying to think. Oh, gotta love this one. I think I had a small applesauce.
Okay.
And I had a piece of bread.
Applesauce and a piece of what?
Bread.
Bread. Okay. So put that on breakfast. And you can actually go ahead and fill out the actual part since we're doing it after the fact, which is fine, y'all. If you forget, look, this girl has not made her plan yet today. I'm just being honest. I forgot. I'm going to do it as soon as we're done. I have not written it down yet today.
I haven't gotten to lunch yet.
Have you had lunch yet?
No.
All right.
I'm not hungry yet.
All right. What are you going to plan for lunch when you're hungry?
Good question. I have to go grocery shopping in Grenville. I was going to have a hard-boiled egg.
Okay.
And some veggies.
Okay. Hard-boiled egg and veggies. Right or in there.
Okay.
Are you going to have any snacks today?
The only snacks, if I have, it's either the little thing, container applesauce or one mozzarella stick.
Okay, go ahead and write those down. Y'all, if you write it in snacks, sometimes I do this, especially if I have a late call and I know dinner will be late. Sometimes I'll plan a snack. You don't have to eat it just because it's on the plan. But if you plan it, then it's available to you to eat if you need it, if you're hungry.
Right.
What are you going to do for dinner?
That, honestly, I don't know because I have to see what I have in the house. I have tuna fish. And of course, I've got veggies. So I haven't gone to the store just yet.
Are you okay with planning tuna fish and veggies?
Sure.
All right. Write her in there. Now, see how easy that was?
Yeah, it is. Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Now you've set your food intention for the day.
All right.
Okay. A couple of things. First is, if you had nothing in the house and you knew you had to go to the grocery store, when you made your plan, you could put a note in there that says, this is what, I'll finish this when after I get back from the store, or I'll finish this after I plan what I'm getting from the store or something like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Y'all, you can't mess this up. The only way you mess this up is by not doing it.
Well,
okay. Yeah, you can leave yourself notes. You can even give yourself options. So let's say you put in tuna and veggies, but you're thinking in the back of your mind, you know, I really would like some pasta. I know you're type 2 diabetic. That's just the first thing came to mind. Pasta.
Oh, yeah. I have pasta in the house too. So
yeah, and you can put tuna and veggies or pasta.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right. One last hack for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how Kathy plans, and it has worked for me, and it's worked beautifully. Before I go to the grocery store, I go to the grocery store once a week. Before I go, I decide what my breakfasts for the week are going to be, my lunches for the week, and my dinners for the week, and I build my grocery list based on that. So it's almost like I do like a weekly plan ahead of time so that I know what groceries I need in the house to be successful that week.
Wow. Yeah.
Then each, you know, like for instance, this week, it's all Chex cereal and bananas. Y'all, I love my cinnamon Chex cereal. Okay. All week long for breakfast. Lunch is like a little side salad and half of a chicken salad sandwich all week long.
Mm.
My dinners, Ken wants chicken enchiladas one night. He wants we do a baked Cajun fish thing and roasted potatoes. He wants that one night. So I went through and I have my, you know, all of my dinners listed, and I'll just pull one each night and put it on my plan, or each day to put on my plan for the night.
Yeah. See, I love salads, so that's not a problem. Yeah. But like you said, because of type 2, medicine, the other thing is, I know with the pasta, the portion, I'm not going to have a big, huge plate of it, but you eyeball it. And it makes sense, like you said.
Let me ask
you. I appreciate it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you, I saw in the chat, one of the people in the chat said it feels restrictive to her. Does that feel restrictive to you?
Oh, no, not by any means.
Why
and
not?
You know what? What's interesting when you ask me that, I call him Mr. Shitty when he comes to visit. And I thought that was a good analogy.
Mr.
And what
Shitty.
I've learned. Yeah, but you know what? I've been there. But you know what? One of the things is what I've learned. There's just so much education here. I have choices, and I don't have to give up anything, as Corinne and everybody else has said. And this does work. I have to say that. And I don't find it restrictive at all. It makes perfectly sense to me. Some people, you know, do, but I absolutely don't. And I think I could, like, your suggestions were fantastic, because I'm on a, you know, tight budget. Food has gone up, as we all know. So it's just myself and, you know, between Social Security and, you know, food assistance, the food assistance that I get because of my income is not a lot, but it stops me. If I want something, you have to plan for it. And that makes sense, because I used to, I'm an emotional eater. I was. And I look back on a lot of this, and I failed these diets, which I hate the word, which I don't even use anymore, because I felt restricted. You can't have this, you can't have that. And that's not, and from just being here, has showed me a lot, and a lot of education, and very informative. And I feel I see it, like, to get this far, I got ways to go. But you know what? It's an investment. And I think, because I'm, you know, with COVID, that has wreaked havoc on my life, because I have some friends, not a lot, but you know, I just don't get to see anybody right now as much. So it has changed a lot, you know, before this. But well,
you are amazing. I love your mindset. And I will tell you that planning that way, the way I described for me, I look at that as a gift I give myself. It's not restrictive, because I've decided ahead of time what I want. Now, do I always follow the weekly plan perfectly? No. And that's okay. I follow my daily plans. Okay.
Right.
I know what's in the refrigerator. That's what helps me prepare for the week. So I don't have to, when I go downstairs at night, when I'm doing my plan for the week, I think to myself, future Kathy, who goes downstairs to fix dinner on Wednesday night, is going to be so glad she doesn't have to decide what to fix. The food's already there. The plan's on the fridge. She's already decided. It's the best gift I give myself each week. That's my perspective. And that's
powerful.
Yeah, that's what I'll end this call with, everyone. You all have your own belief systems and your own perspectives on planning, finding enough, any of the basics, the thought work, the four N's. Listen to how you talk to yourself about them. Are they a gift you give yourself? Are they a problem? Are they restrictive? Are they okay? Do they help you? Listen to how you talk to yourself about these things, because you can change your perspective in a hot second. And you can really think about what's important for you to accomplish in order for you to lose your weight for the last time and feel amazing as you deserve.
Yep. That's right. Well, yep. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. You are, go ahead. You are amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, the other thing is, well, so are you all. Like I've always said, everybody has a story. And my story, you know, to get where I'm at right now is one of the best things I could do for myself as a gift to me. And I lost my apartment about 3 years ago. Job loss. I was terminated, not any fault of mine. And I became homeless because I fell back on my rent, couldn't pay it, and collected unemployment when that ran out. Then the next thing is I was homeless and I got, you know, taken to court. I was evicted first time ever in my life. Then I lived in a homeless shelter for about 7 months. And just to get back on my feet, I'm on SNAP, which is not a lot, but it's, you know, for the most part, it's substantial, you know, helps. And of course, you know, my Social Security, I add to that. But that's my story. But I never looked back. And I had a car, but that's another thing. I don't have a car right now, but I tend to get that. So I have either Walmart deliver whatever I need to do. But I never looked back. And I mean, people say, oh, you went through a lot. Yeah, I did. But you know what? And a lot of this, you know, had a lot to do with eating, you know, because it's like comfort food. And it made, like, I think it was Connie, how I could relate to her when she was snacking and what it makes her feel like. And then when I get that, I don't feel so great afterwards. And, you know, my weight just kept going. And I just hate the word obese. And when people look at me, it's like they don't see from the inside out. And they look at you from the outside. And I just feel I'm on, you know, I have my days. And I feel I'm doing something for me. And I'll get there.
Yeah.
And I think with this support, with all of you, I don't know what my plan is, what God wants me to do, to be honest with you. But if I support the women here, and I think they're fantastic, even Corinne, all of you, even though, you know, we don't meet as often. But that's the greatest gift you all have given me.
And I will say this. You have just given us an amazing gift of your story, of your resilience, and of your future thinking. Everybody, you've given it to all of us. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you, because you're all are a blessing to me. And I don't really share that, but that's my story. I'm not embarrassed. And I think the hardest thing for me is I want to get the weight off for good. Mm-hmm. And I'm on that path.
You are.
And I know people have worse situations than I do. And I'm blessed for what I have. And this was a blessing that I finally got to talk to you live and on Zoom. And I appreciate all of you more than you know. And I thank you for allowing this time for to share. And you made a lot of sense, Kathy, and Coach Lizzie too. Hopefully I can get an accountability partner. I understand with Heidi, I put the two and two together, and she's in my thoughts and my prayers. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes a big difference, because I can't do this by myself, and I live alone, and yeah. You know, I don't have many people around me per se, you know, in that aspect.
But well, I encourage you to use the community as much as you can. If you're in Facebook, get in there and post. Everybody needs to hear your story and hear how committed you are to this program. And, you know, you're just, look, I'm rooting for you. And I think everybody on this call is rooting for you.
I know.
And if you don't get an accountability partner in this next week, you know, because Tina is filling in for Heidi, post in one of the groups and reach out to somebody. Look, Barbara says 10,000 No BS women are here for you. Isn't that amazing? This is the best community ever, y'all. I got goosebumps.
It is.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kathy and Coach Lizzie and all of you BS women. You're all awesome. Right. Thank you so much. God bless.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. What an amazing way to end this call with such a brilliant testimonial. I don't know about y'all, but I'm teary-eyed. And I love this community so much. And I love the way you all support each other. And I love the way the team, you know, gets supported and supports as well. So have a beautiful day, everyone. I'm not crying. You're crying. I'm not crying either. Have a beautiful day. And thanks for being here. And I will see you. I'll see you in Ask Coaches and in the group. Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks for all your help. Bye, everyone.